WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, this is Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me are my brother Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer, and we'll spend about 15 minutes talking about some of the implications from the Southern Cal game in this off week for the Irish football program. A couple questions that come to mind. A lot of people are talking about the performance on Saturday. Was that a step backwards? That's one of the things we'll be talking about. If you have any comments or questions about what you hear on Dome and Domer, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or post the comment on our website, which, again, is domeanddomer.com. Bram, do you want to start? Let's first talk about some of the comments and questions that have been posted recently from some recent shows. You've gotten some good feedback.
Yeah, first off, just to address this, Peter Arts from Kalamazoo had asked about the whole idea of the coaching staff and where things are going. And again, this gets back to was the game a major step backwards for us? But it seems to be questions as to do we really have the coaches that once the talent is there, and we will have it in the next couple of years, are they the kind of coaches that can turn this into a top five program?
Okay, I mean, a lot of people are when you're 1-7, everything comes into question. You know, everything's got to be looked at. And, you know, I tend to defer to the coaches maybe too often, but, you know, how the heck, other than the performance on the field, 1-7 is an indictment of everything in the program. The root causes, as we've said many times, we think are the recruiting over the last couple of years. But, you know, how the heck can you really evaluate, say, John Latina or, you know, Bill Lewis? You know, sitting, watching the game at home, I find it hard to really get into nitpicking on the assistant coaches. And, well, he's a lousy coach or he's a good coach. How the heck does the average guy know?
You know, Mike, obviously that's true. But I think you do defer a little too much. You stuck very loyally to our former defensive coordinator. And we were trying to point out the ridiculous statistics of our defense. And you kept saying, well, we don't know if it's his fault or whatever, and bang, he was gone.
Well right, let's address that point right there. So this year's statistics are worse, but everybody loves Corwin Brown. And I do, too.
Wait, our defensive statistics are worse?
Absolutely.
I don't know about that.
We're giving up 30. The pass statistics are only improved because nobody has to throw it on us. We're giving up 30-plus points a game. Have given up over 400 yards in offense to virtually everybody. And but I could sit here and say and look at the statistics and say, yeah, I see improvement too. All I said about Rick Minter, and you accused me of being his defender, all I said about Rick Minter was, I don't think it's the scheme. And, you know, we've debated the 3-4 versus the 4-3. None of that matters. I think the problem with Rick Minter, which filtered down to the team, was he and Weiss weren't on the same page, and Minter could not recruit, and that's why he was canned.
Well,
it's 9 o'clock.
Whether it was just recruiting or scheme or not scheme or his ability to communicate or not, there was a number of things that changed, and that was it was recruiting was not the only point you were making, and you did not say
we'll
not scheme.
We'll dip back into the archives and pull that one up.
Yeah,
I think the other thing you got to ask yourself is with the classes that we had previously, you know, Quinn's class and that group of athletes, how is that going to compare with what we've done recruiting-wise the last couple of years that we're going to see, you know, 2 years from now?
What?
I
have no idea what you're saying.
My point is this. The athletes that Weiss had the last couple of years aren't anywhere close to what we're going to have 2 years from now. There are going to be another notch above because they're going to be filled at every single position. We didn't have that. We had some great players in Smarja.
I agree.
And in Quinn and in, you know, the guys at Abriamari. I mean, we had some studs, but nothing like what we're going to see 2 years from now. So, again, I think the reason that maybe Charlie's getting a little bit of a free pass here, and I don't personally – I think he's getting a lot of it, but he is definitely getting some. It's because of what he's done on the recruiting trails. You have to acknowledge
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I agree. Couldn't agree more. But I'm not sure.
Yeah, he deserves a chance to make a run with these guys who are highly touted to fill out the program, and I think
let's put it to you this way. I guarantee you, 2 years ago, nobody wanted this Notre Dame job. If this job opened up right now, I guarantee you there'd be floods coming in.
Because people know what's coming in. I think there's some truth in that. I mean, that's what the joke going around last year was. The best job in the Big Ten is the guy that replaces Ron Zook at Illinois because, you know, he recruited like heck and went 2-10. But, maybe he's turned that around this year. They look to be on target for an 8-win season. But I agree, Bram. I think the pipeline of talent coming in puts this program on a different foundation. And you have to, in evaluating Weiss and the coaching staff, you have to look at the foundation they came in. It was a crumbling foundation that they propped up in 2 years, but we're seeing the results of that now, and there's just no two ways about that.
Well, one of the things that I think, Bram, the email that you were talking about, if I got this right, is this question of sideline enthusiasm.
Well, that was James McDade. Yeah, James McDade was asking about, hey, look, as far as coaching goes, just looking at the game Saturday, it was evident that the coaching that was going on was done on the USC side because you could see it every time players came off the field. There was some position coach grabbing them. The excitement and level of enthusiasm from – I mean, it starts with Pete Carroll all the way down. I mean, you definitely saw it being that we sat on that side of the field on Saturday.
Well, I got to say that – several times in my mind when I was at the game, I noticed that. I didn't do like a detailed comparison and study it, but there was enough that it stuck in my mind. Now, maybe at that point, you know, there was a heck of a lot more to be enthusiastic about, but there's no question that that USC sidelines was pumped up and all those coaches were tremendously connected with an enthusiastic with their players as they were coming on and off the field and the plays that were being made, et cetera.
Well, if I could comment on that.
That was obvious. Now, whether that's – if that's coaching, you know, to say – to use the phrase, a lot more coaching was going on. I'm not very comfortable with that.
I'm with you. I also have difficulty with that. I mean, Pete Carroll, I think his personality, he's a very, you know, effervescent kind of guy, very energetic, and that's – his staff probably feeds off of that. And different coaches have different personalities. But, you know, the coaching that matters doesn't go on Saturday. It goes on Monday through Friday, and I'll go you one better. The real coaching that matters takes place January through August. And if this team, maybe we didn't get it done at those times. But what you see on Saturday, okay, the enthusiasm of the sideline coach, that's only going to get you so far. In-game adjustments are important. Obviously, that has to go on. But if you haven't – I just think that that's more window dressing for public consumption than it is substantive.
Well, you've gone a bit too far on that. You're not going to win because you're enthusiastic if you haven't
exactly
done the other things. By the same context, I think we also know – let me jump to a different sport as an example. John McLeod may be the example of a guy who clearly knows how to run a program, knows X's and O's, knows how to teach fundamentals. But something was always missing at game time.
That's a good analogy. You remember the scene with
– Well, wait a minute. Well, he just said John McLeod, an analogy with Charlie Weiss.
Good catch, Graham. That's got to be careful there, Ed. I know what your point is, Ed. And do you recall the scene in the Michigan State game from a year ago up in East Lansing when we did the defensive stop and Charlie got in their shorts and you saw a different level of emotion from him and it was great to see, okay? And so maybe that's part of the evolution of Charlie Weiss as we've talked about all season.
Well, I don't think that he's incapable of that. And I don't even know that you know, you've got to do it truly and sincerely. You can't do it for every game and every play because that'll mean nothing to
you. Got to be who you are. So that's what means something to the kids. You got to be who you are. You can't be something you're not.
Don't forget, SC's coming off a loss to Stanford. This was a huge game for them. They had no way possible could they lose this game. So
there was
clearly a lot in their favor to be enthusiastic. But
that's right.
The fact of the matter was it was noticeable.
We said it in the prior show that, you know, this may be just the medicine that USC needs to get their season right, and I think they knew that too, and they were pumped in that
way. And, Ed, to your point about you know, it's really hard to have genuine enthusiasm when you're getting your butt handed to you and you go three and out every play. And, I mean, what is there to jump up and down about and celebrate and be enthusiastic about? I mean, these are the symptoms of a 1-7 team. It becomes a cycle. It's very hard to pull out of that when things are going poorly. But
yeah, that's right. That's right, Mike. And I tell you, I think that too often that the Notre Dame faithful can sit there and they'll say, you know, oh, they're flat. Oh, they're not playing with emotion. Oh, they're not trying. You know, there's a lot of other things that are going on there, and the emotion, you can't manufacture it if it's not there. You know, it's tough when you're in your butt kicked.
Okay, let's, you know, we want to thank everybody for the comments posted, particularly the suggestion of a traveling Dome and Domer show, perhaps at a tailgater at some date in the future. Certainly that could be that could be fun as long as Brammer's busting out the wallet. Okay, other things we want to...
I'll be busting out the beers. I don't know about
okay.
The
wallet. Other things we want to talk about... you know, in general, was the game a step backward in terms of the development of this team? We've seen some kinds of progress that you could hang your hat on at Michigan State and at Purdue and UCLA and BC, and then apparently nothing against Southern Cal. Did we step backwards, or is that just a reflection of the opponent we played?
I'll take that one first, because I think people are making too much of this was a step backward. You know, in fact, the defense, as we talked about, had enough stops that if we would have had a little offense, we would have been in the game. And as we talked about, I think Charlie made some very strategic errors that cost us 3 points at the end of the first half and a huge amount of momentum. Things unraveled in the second half, but you are talking about a USC team that has a lot of weapons. And the fact that it unraveled like that, I don't see it as a quote-unquote step backward. I see it as the manifestation of the same problems that aren't going to just go away. So there's no step backward.
Yeah, I think it is a reflection of the opponent. We might see, you know, quote, improvement over the next four opponents. But we're still probably going to be the same team. You know, if we said all along, if the schedule was set up differently, you know, you're not talking about 1-7. You might have opened with those four teams and still finished 5-7. Because that's just, hey, you are who you are, fellas, okay? And this is a young, inexperienced team that lacks some playmakers and difference makers, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not sure it's a step backwards. It's what we've seen all year long. And the quality of the opponent was what changed compared to the last few weeks.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see in the next four games a different psyche that'll emerge too, because there will be some opportunities for us to taste some success. And lo and behold, what happens when you taste a little bit of success? Well, we don't know with this group other than UCLA, which that win doesn't look all that bad now that UCLA...
Hey, Brammer, when you're 1-7, no win looks bad, okay? The one win is a thing of beauty, okay? It's give me a break.
But, I mean, you know, going back to the game real quick, I mean, don't forget the amount of bad luck that we've had this year as well. I mean, you know, balls that just seem to come out of nowhere. I mean, a kid covering down on punt coverage, the ball hits him in the back of the back, they recover. I mean, what do you do in a situation like that when that goes against you?
Let me
bring up that was a moment in the stadium where, and this is where, you know, we're Notre Dame wackos as much as anybody else, but sometimes I just think people are so unrealistic. Guy in front of me is just like railing on the coaching. That's lousy special teams coaching. How do you let that happen? How do you, you know, Muneer Prince is running his butt off blocking the Southern Cal kid, and you know, you can see Zibby waving, get away, get away. You know what? There's 80,000 people yelling, and the ball hit him at a weird angle and caught him in the back of the leg. What do you do about that? Nothing. It's just the randomness of sports. It's a bloop single that turns into a seeing-eye ground ball that's the game-winning hit. It's just the stuff that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're 1-7, then it's open season on every single factor that's out there, and that's just what we're going to have to
suffer through. Okay,
here's an issue. Let me throw this out here. I think in the same way that under Ty, we had some games that we pointed at and said, by God, they better be ready. You know, for you, Mike Sullivan, you got off the bandwagon when we got thumped by Syracuse. For me, I said, by God, they better be ready at BYU. And they went out to BYU
right.
and they looked
right. So what is that
okay.
this year?
All right. It's these next four games are going to be a real measure if Charlie has this team. And, Brammer, you started to talk about the kind of enthusiasm and get after it that these guys – this is a chance to stop being a laughingstock. And we need to see this team come after these teams like, okay, these guys are in our wheelhouse. These guys we can play
hey,
and beat.
No. And I think you're, the way the analogy sets up between the Syracuse game in Ty's last year and the Stanford game are eerily similar. I mean, Syracuse and Stanford are kind of the same kind of program, not certainly academically, but, yeah. you know, just middling programs that can be really bad or get into a toilet bowl kind of game once in a while. Once in a while, knock somebody off. But we absolutely have to beat those people on a regular basis. You know, right. you cannot let them get up to your level.
Yeah.
And Willingham's last
yeah,
team went out there flat
yeah.
and got it handed to him. It will be very interesting to see what Charlie right. does with this on a road game, last game of the season, going nowhere, you know?
Right. Yeah, a lot of similarities in that regard. You're going nowhere. It's on the road. You know, what do you have? Do you have any senior leadership? Do you have any young kids stepping up? Do you care at all
right.
any longer?
Okay. Yep. Well, we're out of time for today. Obviously, a lot of continued unanswered questions surrounding the program, and we will be back on Thursday to look at a few more of those, including comments from Coach Weiss's press conference, some interesting things that came out of the press conference today. We'll also talk on Thursday with Mike Coffey of ND Nation for a little bit of a basketball preview. So Thursday will be a football basketball show. Until then, this is Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. Send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or post a comment on our website, domeanddomer.com. For Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time on Dome and Domer.